This week on Potlatch, four Alaska Native women talk about subsistence living. In the season of the seals in southeast Alaska, there was a definite procedure to follow when the Indians harvested the animals. Susie Abraham of Yakutat recalls those times.
Yahutakid tells the people, you cannot go up to the sealing camp and tell all the seals born. Before that, you can't bother them. And you can't make a fire. Smoke the animal don't like. If you're going to make fire right where the tide going to wash it, that's where they make fire and eat. And then push it in the water. That's how they take care of it. That's why lots of seals. And the time comes when the baby seals are about this big, the words go all over what I mentioned. It's opened now. You all could go up to the sealing camp, get your seal fat and skin. Day and night they go to inside, up to the sealing camp. And they stay there maybe May, June, July. August, they come and just stay in town on this site now. He was growing up, he'd go by himself. August. September, October, they go to that place for fishing. October, November, December, while the missionary had Christmas to come back and live on this site. And here, right now where we're sitting, lots of trees to the ocean, to the bay. Big trees. Know when somebody said, every 20 years the native people move to different place. I think they use up that trees. The sawmill. Missionary Samuel was here after the missionary came, and Lippy McNeil and Lippy Samuel, so they cut all the trees out.
Standing at the crossroads, trying to read the signs, to tell me which way I should go to find the answer, and all the time I know. Your love and let it grow.
Let it grow, let it grow. Let it blossom, let it flow. In the sun, the rain, the snow.
There's nothing left to show. Plant your love and let it grow.
Let it grow, let it grow. Let it blossom, let it flow. In the sun, rain, the snow.
Let it grow. much for you to do. Only ask and give what you're needing. The rest is up to you. Plant your love and let it grow.
Bit of Eric Clapton. Maggie John of Yakutat has more to tell us about the subsistence life in Southeast Alaska.
Month of June, we go to that Red Cedar Bay for seal hunting, and we stay there until last part of July we move back, and then we go up to the big lake next to the ocean cape for that big houses there that holds, one house holds 400 fish that dry it for winter. And then our next village is that way, the Coast Guard. It's just a small village. And then the third is our tribe. 16 villages used to be here. There's a lot of people, you know. Now we live off the beach. We found of the whole bay in here is full of food, what we live on. The winter seaweed grows on this month, March. First black seaweed grows. And then a white ribbon seaweed grows on May. And then the black ribbon seaweeds on July. But we never eat mussels, we never eat clams. Cockles is all right, and sea boots is all right, but it's not so very good in summertime until July. April, May, and June, it's starting to change, then we're starting to eat things from the beach again, you know. And then there's a lot of fish comes in the bay. That's where they fish right in the bay. Quite a bit of fishermen's right here. And then the white people comes for trolling. You see, there's a king salmon, they're calling at the ocean king salmon, comes here. Every year, they caught some, my grandson caught some the other day. They stays out here all winter. But the river king salmon comes here month of May. It goes to Seatuck, it goes to Dry Bay, and it goes to Aque, you know, all this where it comes there, you know. This is the main place where we can get our food, all kinds of food, herons, and that the candlefish. This all comes in this bay here. That's what we live off, this bay, you know, at the town people. It's just like Angoon, you know, and halibut, codfish, red cod, and that there, quite a bit fish is all in this bay here.
It's raining outside.
but that's not unusual. But the way that I'm feeling's becoming usual. I guess you could say the clouds are moving away, away from your days and into
Ken Hensley. The country around Aniak on the Kuskokwim River is a bit different from the southeast. Clara Morgan talks of a way of life for the natives there.
Yeah, usually end of April, when they went out to spring camp, they'd go out with dogs, then haul everything out there and then drag the boat out in a bobsleigh. Have everything out there where they're going to have spring camp, and then or some stayed about 3 weeks to a month, some longer if it's depending on when the river goes out. Out in spring camp, they'd pick red berries, they call currants or cranberries, lowbush cranberries. Well, they lived off the land while they were out there, and mostly brought just flour, coffee, tea, shortening, sugar, whatever, the things they use most. And then they'd come back about end of May or first part of June, come back from spring camp. About the middle of June, start fishing for king salmon, chi fish, put up all they could for eating and for the dogs. Most people then went to fish camp, but now they seem to fish right in the village, have their smokehouses. And there's not as many fish wheels as there used to be. Most people get their fish now by drifting instead of set net. In the winter they use fish trap, and there's not too many of that either. It's to catch lush. The liver is good. Mostly we just eat the liver and the eggs and some meat, but not too much. The best agurak is made with pike. Agurak is Eskimo ice cream, made with fish and shortening, sugar. Berries, if you don't have berries, you use raisins. And they're finding out that mandarin oranges are about as good as salmon berries for making agurak. Well, down the coast, they use seal oil, but up around here, not too much. I remember when I was small, I used to taste some of seal oil. Now, again, civilized, we use Western oil. We put up as much king salmon strips as we can in the summer, and it seems like there's more salting of fish than just regular drying, the king salmon and silver salmon. In the fall, about September, no, August, moose season starting, and there's a whole bunch of people from down the river come up, go out moose hunting. And it's rainy, so not too many people go out. They wait for sunny days. They go all the way up to Sleep Mutin up around Holitna, bear hunting. Most people are getting freezers, electricity and freezers. And they used to put up meat mostly drying, not drying, jarring, pressure cooker. That's where I heard that they used, they'd open 5 gallon cans and put the jars in there, and they never used pressure cooker. I guess they knew how long to boil the, you know, keep a steady boil till they're cooked. Winter starts in about October. In October we get our first snow. Then our mink trapping starts first in November and goes until January, I think. And then after mink trapping is beaver trapping in March, February, and now they open the season in March too. The last beaver season was good weather, you know. My husband goes out about noon and comes back by about 7:30 or 8, right out in the tundra. The beaver meat we send to friends in Anchorage and Bethel that want meat. Since the kids don't like the wild taste, I started soaking it in vinegar about 3 hours before I cook it. And it takes the taste, some of the wild taste out of it. Spice it up with green peppers and delicious.
Dear Lord, give me strength to carry on.
Eric Clapton. Our final segment on this show features Mary Nicolai, also a Vaniac, who describes the tanning of beaver hide for sewing.
They soak the beaver, any kind of fur, in warm water with brown, they call it brown soap. They put it in the warm water, they soak it, and then they put something heavy over it, you know. After you roll it, you put something heavy so it'll soak in, and then you leave it for 2 days. You take it back out. If it's kind of dry and it's not ready to be tanned, you soak it one more time the same way, and then leave it like the same way, you know, like 2-3 days. And then when you think it's ready, you take it out, you scrape it with those scrapers. Schroemeron, they call them. Well, they wouldn't know what it means. They call them that. You scrape them with those. And then when you're done, you take bacon grease. You rub your fur with bacon grease all over. And you leave it the same way again. You put something heavy over it for another 2-3 days. Take it out and you scrape it again. And then flip it over something, you know, so it'll dry. It'll suck. And you keep rubbing it with your hands. And they're real soft. That's our way of tanning long time ago. Dave has different ways of tanning now, you know. It's not like how the older people used to tan their fur. I used to watch them tanning, and I used to tan my own fur. I rather tan my own Link and Wolverine, because sometimes they're over-tanned if you send them in to be tanned. And the hair comes out through, you know, if they're over-tanned, like the rabbit skins. You see how soft they are? And they're hard to sew because they're tanned too much, I guess. But beaver is okay because they're thicker. Link is not as thick as beaver. I made a beaver jacket, and I made 4 pair of mucklucks. Then I made slippers, and I made beaver cap. I learned how by watching the old people, the old people, you know. I used to go visit them, and when I see them sewing or cutting out fur, I used to watch them. That's the way. And they always tell you, the older people will tell you, like if you ask that older person, can you cut me a pattern? No. You go home and cut your own pattern the way you watched me, you know. That's the only way you learn. Somebody else do it for you, you'll never learn. That's what they'll tell you, those old people. They let you go home and do it, you know, the way you think. Like how you see that pattern, you have to think, oh, maybe it's cut this way or that way, you know, and you try.
There's a feel that comes in the spring, a touch of hope, a new beginning. Time's racing by, I know, but as it crossed my mind, I thought we all would end up winning. rising with the summer sun. Caught in the silence of hello, rolling the words across the sky. There's a feel that comes in the spring, when all the world's alive and shining, waiting to touch us all, the youngest and the old, and give each day a velvet lining. A new kind of light surrounds us all, and if we could, we'd all be I've always felt that deep inside we're trying. There's a feel that comes in the spring, a touch of hope, a new beginning. Time is racing by, I know, but as it crossed my mind, I thought we all would end up winning. Light surrounds us all, and if we could, we'd all be flying. I've always felt that deep inside we're trying
That was Lanny Hall. I'm Mo Ostley, and thank you for listening.
Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act. Oh!